no topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Streets of Osiris and the 2023 Bratwurst Festival. It is Friday Night Live, joined by Sean Kraft, Carrington Nelson, and sitting in for Matt Morgan, Pastor Craig here tonight. It's a historic broadcast as we are now fully in the shank of the evening here in Osiris. Darkness has descended over the beautiful city of Osiris, and the steeple is lit up like something from Vatican City or in Europe at this particular point. The light is glimmering off of the tents. The bratwurst stands are in full glow, and we're sitting here under the lights of the beautiful office, and we thank the people of the Bratwurst Festival for letting us broadcast here for the 2023 historic broadcast Friday night for WGH Talk, which you can find all over the world. They're listening in Europe right now. They're listening in England. They're listening in Germany. Vermont, Germany. It's all over the place. We've had icons today. We've had Buckeye Guy. We've had Omar Jones, and he's a fascinating man, high-dollar Ohio State player. Boy, you'll want to come here just for him. He's worth the price of admission. There was a parade earlier on that was the parade that was custom-made for radio. Beautiful, beautiful parade here in Osiris. And the queens have been all over the place here, dirndls everywhere. Oh, polka music? Can you imagine? This is the epitome of broadcasting. And we are here bringing you the news, the weather, the sports, the obituaries, the happenings as they happen here from this epic event. And the Midway is crowded with millions of people. You can not even see across the way. And honest to goodness, you couldn't find a parking spot. Stay home. Don't even come right now because you won't find a parking spot. There's not a seat to be had. Every seat has a fanny in it. Here at the Osiris Bratwurst Festival 2023 edition. And now I shall turn it over to the hosts who are with me. Go right ahead.
Is the mic on?
I hope so. I can't do that again.
Scott, that was a fabulous opening.
Thank you so much. And no script.
No script.
Yeah. That all came from the old noodle.
Describe the scene perfectly.
Well, I like to paint the picture.
Yeah.
It feels to me like we're at an airport right now.
An airport?
An airport.
Why an airport?
Because I see a lot of lights. I see a lot of people. I see a lot of people who possibly want to go other places. It reminds me of an airport. It's got a very good airport feel to it.
Really? I'm not getting airport, but...
I'm not getting it either, but
did you already eat that bratwurst?
I did!
Oh my God. You ate that thing in like 6 minutes.
I told you I was hungry.
My...
6 minutes?
I'm impressed. I wouldn't think you'd be able to take a bratwurst like that in 6 minutes.
What?
I'm sorry.
I was debating getting another one.
No, it's a compliment. Well, they have eating competitions down here.
Yeah,
if I'd known you could eat like that,
yeah.
I would have brought you in. You'd have been a ringer. That was good.
Thank you.
Because we didn't go to break till after 9, and you had to stand in line there for a minute. We checked to see if they took credit cards, and that thing is gone.
Yeah, I was hungry, I told you, and it was a great bratwurst.
Was it great?
Yes.
Did you have it the proper way?
With mustard.
And sauerkraut and
no.
Worcestershire sauce?
You saw it. No, mustard.
I really didn't see it. You know, I did not even see it.
There's a picture of it.
Really?
Yes. It's in our photo we took during the break.
I was working.
I posed with it.
Did you?
I held it up.
Golly, where was I?
In the picture.
You were behind me.
Well, I think I was trying to get us ready. I was trying to get us the picture perfect. And I was trying to get it. It's been a day.
Yeah, you've been here since 7:30.
7:30 this morning.
You're on hour almost 14.
It's like a marathon.
Yeah.
It's like a radiothon. But I'm up for the test, to be honest with you. I've been here all day. Smoke's been blowing in my face. The sun's been beating down on me. I smell like bratwurst. But you know what? That will not stop me. That will not deter me. I'm here for the rest of the night. I get a sleeping bag and just stay over.
And then go back on the air tomorrow.
Go back on the air tomorrow. You know, there's always something to talk about. That's what I've learned over the years. Now, we said we were going to get into some topics here tonight. And the first topic we want to get into tonight, Carrington and I actually had this conversation the other night in a television interview, which, by the way, is on YouTube right now. You can view that interview. It's up. Just search Carrington Nelson, search Scott Spears now, and you can watch that episode in its entirety. We learn all about Carrington's life. Oh, you know, let's start with this, by the way. What have your friends said about this show?
They said, we want more Carrington and less everybody else. So, that's what the fans want.
That's what the fans want. More Carrington, less everybody else. Now, you would not take umbrage of that, would you, Pastor? Because you're not a part of this show every week.
Right.
So it's really more of a slight toward myself and Sean and Matt.
Yeah, because being just a guest tonight, I've got to grab as much time as I can.
Yeah, so. but on a normal basis, from now on, there's going to be a lot less of us. We're just going to sit there and kind of relax. We're going to way back.
Hey, that's what they said, not me. I think you guys do a great job.
That's what we heard. We heard that. Okay.
They might have a biased opinion.
You know what? Biased or not, we want to give the people what they want. So get ready, because next week's show, wow.
She can start off next week.
I'm not even going to speak.
With the kind of opening like you get.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not. Yeah, can you do one of those?
Maybe, but I would need more time to prepare.
No, you've got a week.
There is no preparation. You just got to go on the fly.
Just wing it.
No, you just got to fly.
I don't know. I haven't been here long enough. Well, you said you have 9.5 years. How long have you been doing this?
9.5 minutes.
No.
This is my first broadcast today. Aren't you impressed?
You've been here since 7:30. He was preparing that whole time.
He's been making bratwurst.
Bratwurst. So what have we learned? I haven't seen the YouTube yet. What have we learned about Carrington?
We learn it all. We learn it all, didn't we?
We did.
We learned what her fears are. We learned who she admires. We learned where she came from, where she's going. We learned a whole kit and caboodle.
Oh, yeah.
It's fascinating. It's riveting. Yeah, it makes the documentaries look like they're running in slow motion.
So it's up on YouTube.
Watch it.
So I will on the way home.
On the way, while you're driving? That's what I would watch.
I see other people doing it.
Why not? Put it on your dashboard and just take a look. It's very, very fascinating. No, it is. And we're in New York. We went to New York and did it.
Oh, yeah.
Right in front of the bridge there.
You see the skyline in the background. Right. It's beautiful.
It's fascinating. But no, I really did enjoy it because I enjoyed getting to know you because I really don't know you all that well. We had a conversation one time in the break room.
Yes.
And then we met at the fair.
Yep.
Very briefly. And then you flighted me in the break room one day.
There was a slight misunderstanding. It was not intended that way.
But we love having you here because we needed the female perspective and everybody loves you out there in the audience. They say you're a go-getter, you're a talker, you have your own opinion. And so you're beloved already by the audience, and I think that's tremendous.
You know what they say, more Carrington, less everybody else.
That's what they say, there's signs. There's actually signs at the radio station plastered on the door.
There's people picketing out front.
They're picketing out there. They want all of us just go away. Be gone.
They're not even lost 9.5 years. They're tired, I guess.
That's it. Time for this show to be over.
No.
Wrap this thing up.
No.
We're that tired of you.
As Scott walks off the set.
Walks off the... Well, that happened once. It was very fascinating. We loved it. But in any event, as we're here at the Broadway Festival, do you remember the topic we discussed the other night?
We discussed a lot of topics. Which one?
Do you remember the current event that we did?
Yes, I do.
This is perfect for a pastor. So lay it out.
It was about a woman teaching at a Catholic school who ended up getting pregnant outside marriage. And this was in New Jersey. And basically, the school wanted to fire her for becoming pregnant and not having a husband. And it went all the way up to the New Jersey Supreme Court there.
That was the New Jersey Court. I don't know if it was Supreme Court.
It was the New Jersey Court.
I don't think it was because she was pregnant. I think it was because what they said was that she was not abstinent.
Pregnancy
just gave it away.
The pregnancy exposed her non-abstinence.
Yeah, but I think that's what the verbiage they used in the court case was not that she got pregnant. Because then I think if any other women got pregnant, they would have to fire them too. And I think pregnancy is not their problem. Because if you're married and pregnant, that's okay by them.
Right.
Their problem was that he was not abstaining, not being married. So should you be able to fire somebody for... not abstaining.
Well, the state of New Jersey said yes.
New Jersey said, darn right, you can.
And the Supreme Court, it was a unanimous decision from the Supreme Court. And actually, what they actually said was that she could be fired because she violated one of the rules,
school rules.
School rules. So it was the bigger issue of violating a school rule that you knew about and agreed to by taking that job. And they said, yes, they were allowed to fire her. Because ultimately, that's what she was guilty of, violating a policy.
But the bigger question then becomes, they really only knew it because she was pregnant.
Correct.
So are the other single women also abstaining who have not gotten pregnant? And are the men abstaining? And how would you ever know if a man was abstaining or not?
You wouldn't necessarily know. It would be hard to know.
So that is a little bit of a biased rule for the women.
Not really. It's a rule that is hard to detect, but if you have a situation where it's obvious that someone broke the rule, you're within your rights, and, you know, I don't have a problem with that.
So what if they would have found, like, a condom in a man's classroom or something who wasn't married? Should he be able to be fired then?
I think if they determined that it was his and he was sexually active, yeah, they would be within their rights.
All right.
They found a what?
Okay, they found a condom, like, in the men's, with the man.
In the school?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh. It's his. Maybe they found it in his car. He dropped it on the way walking in or something.
They would be within their rights if they could determine that it was his.
What do you think, Sean?
I don't know. I think there's too many different policies out there. I think it should be up to them if they're going to have sex or not. I don't think the school should tell them they can or not.
And lose their job, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it's a religious school. And they have their rules. So you go there knowing what the rules are. You're teaching knowing what the rules are. If you want to violate, you know, it could be anything. You know, it could be any of their rules. It just happened to be the one about, you know, sex outside of marriage. But if you violated any of their rules, you're knowingly asking them to fire you.
Did she know that? Or was it?
She signed an employment agreement.
Maybe it was in small print.
But again, I think we're back to the point. Clearly, she had not been abstaining.
Right.
And she'd been there since 2014.
Right.
So it was okay until she was pregnant.
Right.
And my guess is, had she not become pregnant, it wouldn't have been an issue. So really, what they wanted to say was, the fact that you are unwed and pregnant was their problem. But you can't say that, because then it would not be, they would not win that case. Because the married women who are there would, who've had babies, which I'm sure there are some, that would show a clear bias. It's hard to show bias in abstaining because you can't prove that other people who are single are not abstaining.
Right.
Okay. So I think if they worded it just a slightly different way because she got pregnant, they would have not won that case.
So, okay, so let's say, for instance, they're against their rules to use marijuana, smoke marijuana. And then one of the persons that is in their employ gets caught with some at their school. Okay? So now you've got a problem. Are you going to say that that's biased because there are other people there smoking marijuana that they don't know about and therefore they're biased?
I'm not saying the school's biased. I'm saying I think they particularly phrased that argument in court that particular way, by saying, what we're really angry about is that she didn't abstain. Because they knew if they had said, because she's pregnant, they would have lost that case. Because any other woman at the school who had gotten pregnant, they would have had to fire as well.
Yeah. So they worded it right by saying that she was abstaining.
Right,
but not abstaining. Because it's not about being pregnant.
Right, but
it's not about being pregnant.
Right, but I don't think they really care if she abstained or not, because clearly she wasn't. And until she became pregnant, the odds are there's somebody else single at that school who's not abstaining. And they're not going out trying to find them.
Right.
Tells me that it really is not about abstinence. It's really is about doing something, getting caught, not abstaining. So in the marijuana case, it'd be okay that you smoke marijuana, but just don't do it in front of the kid.
Maybe. but it wouldn't be okay if it was against their policy.
No, it wouldn't be, but I don't think they would admit it. I don't think you would phrase it that, don't, because how would you know? It's back to that whole thing, you don't know if I don't see you do it. I can't prove it.
And it's the same way about the abstaining of sex. I don't know unless you get pregnant.
Right, but
what's the difference? Either case, it's I don't know unless I have visible evidence of it. So I'm not going to go out in every case, look for the visible evidence to enforce the rule.
I guess if this is a big enough issue to put it in the paperwork, your hiring and firing paperwork, your contract, what test are you performing to make sure every single person does not have any kind of intercourse and break your rule?
I don't think you're thinking that you have to enforce it, because let's face it, it's a Catholic school. It's a Catholic church. I mean, this is one of the basic tenets of a church about not having sex outside of marriage. So, you know, it's not something that you're going to be always on the lookout. You're always going to be watching for it to find people that are violating.
I guess I'm just saying, are they genuine in their belief?
Well, yeah.
See, I don't know, because if there had been a list of people fired from that school for finding out that they were not abstinent, which there wasn't, then I would say, well, yes, they're very genuine about this. If it's a woman who's pregnant, then I would say, and no man has ever been fired from that school, then I'd say she just is showing something she can't hide. That's really what is the problem. Because you know somebody's
asked. Well,
they
don't.
Right.
So I don't think that you can't say that they're not genuine in their enforcement or their belief because they weren't going and trying to find out if anybody else was.
But you
don't have to do that.
You can fire anybody for anything, I believe, in New Jersey. So why wouldn't you just put, if you get pregnant and you're unwed, that's grounds for termination.
Because that's not the policy of the Catholic Church.
Right, but are there people there breaking that policy who are still employed?
Scott, there's people in every company breaking some company policies who are still being employed. I mean, there are people at your school breaking some school policy that manage to keep their jobs.
Right. I don't know... I don't know. I feel that in a way that a man at this school never has to worry about this. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And unless he's doing it like on television, then he's okay.
I agree.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, though. I don't know if they've never ever had a problem with a man.
I think they would if he told them. I just think they're not honest. Because I cannot believe in the history of this school, there's never been a man who was unwed who didn't have some kind of relationship physically
and I imagine this woman was not the first woman.
No,
so they have had a bunch of women that
absolutely.
Were probably violating the rule
right.
that didn't lose their job. So you've got women and men. So you can't really use that argument of it's a man and therefore they're not necessarily being fair.
I mean, it's just the pregnancy part of it. Because if this had just been a woman who they found had not been abstinent somehow, then I'm good. I say, well, that could be the same thing with a man. They could find out that a man wasn't abstinent and fire him. I don't know that they found that out with her, except for the fact that she's pregnant. And a man's never going to be pregnant. So it
matters how they find out.
In this case, I think it did.
Okay.
I mean,
a person violating a rule, doesn't matter how they find out.
I think in this case it does, because if a tenant is abstinent, then you have to make sure people are abstinent somehow. And I don't know how you do that. I don't know. The honor system?
It's always been the honor system.
But what if this woman said this was immaculate conception?
Yeah.
I mean, what if
that's true? Yeah. If anybody's going to believe it, it would be the Catholic Church, right?
I would think so.
Okay, and then after the baby's born, then you do a DNA test, then you'll know.
Well, what if it's one of the male teachers at the school?
Then you got two people you're going to fire. I guarantee you.
Exactly. But we won't know till the child's born.
Right. Well, we do know, because this case started in 2011.
So she was there. Well, she was hired in 2014. So she was fired when?
Well, I thought I read that the case first went to court in 2011. Maybe it was not. Maybe it was later.
It's a fascinating case to me, only for the fact that I am all for setting your own rules. You should have your own rules. And there's nothing wrong with abstinence. That's fine. I think that's great to preach abstinence. There's nothing wrong with that. I just think in this particular case, the wording they used to go to court, which is where they went, was a particularly worded document so that she would stay fired, so she wouldn't get any money. Because if they had just changed the word from abstinence to pregnant, they would not have won the case. I don't believe it.
Well, you can disagree with their wording, but obviously it was a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court that they were in the right.
Right.
So does it matter how they worded it, really?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if it goes any further, to see if she does try to take it to a higher court. Because obviously she's pushing this issue. And now, and why is this a national story? That's interesting as well.
Because it involves sex. If it was the same Catholic school that had fired somebody for any other reason, it would not be a national story. But because it involves sex, that's why.
I think it's because it's kind of unfair to the woman, because like what Scott was saying, they could never really prove that a man was doing that. So I feel like it's significant because it shows that, like, oh, the woman kind of has more to, like, uphold, like, you know.
But you can prove a man was doing that. So if you can prove it, I still believe that they would hold it. They would stick by their rule and let him go. And you can prove if a man, for instance, if you had a man that was living but not married, if he's living with a woman, you know, he's going to have a tough time proving that he didn't do anything wrong.
Well, I mean, what if you have a female roommate? I just think it's interesting. I mean, that's a fascinating story to me. I mean, I don't know the woman. I've never seen the woman. I don't know the man. I don't know anybody on the court. And I'm not from New Jersey. But I think that's a fascinating story because it really does come down to what you have a problem with. And all I'm saying is, now, if you confronted the school and said, do you have a problem with abstinence, they would probably say yes. I'm not doubting they would, and I believe they're genuine in that belief. But had this woman not become pregnant, I don't think they go around and ask everybody every day.
I don't think they ask the men or the women.
So I think her mistake was getting pregnant, not being abstinent. Her mistake was getting pregnant.
Well, I would disagree with you on that. Her mistake was not being abstinent.
Right, but if she had not gotten pregnant, she could have been as non-abstinent as she wanted to be, and nobody probably would have known anything. So I think in her mind, her mistake is getting pregnant.
In her mind, yes, her mistake is getting pregnant. But overall, that's not what her mistake was.
But how do we ever know if anybody else has made a mistake?
Oh, people make mistakes all the time. They I mean, people make mistakes all the time. People make bad decisions all the time. People make bad choices all the time. Nobody is perfect.
Well, I think it comes back to a lot of issues with women that we've talked about many times on this show, is that some things are visible and some things aren't.
Right.
For a man and a woman.
Right.
And in this particular case, clearly, if a man walked in without a shirt on, he probably is not going to be fired. A woman walks in without a shirt on, clearly she is. There are just anatomical things there that make a difference. And I think being pregnant is an anatomical difference between a man and a woman that obviously got this woman in trouble and fired. And now, you know, I don't know what she does. Maybe she can, I don't know.
I mean, I agree. I agree with you that the activity of not being abstinent is a lot easier, has a lot greater chance of showing itself in the woman. But I honestly believe that if that school had the same information, had found out about a man, they would have acted in the same manner.
Sean, what do you think in conclusion on this?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess rules are rules. I didn't see what Bass was saying. But I think to make a big deal out of it, nothing, I think, my personal opinion. But I understand. It was a Catholic school, I guess. You got to be careful with that.
Carrington, what do you think the final word is on this?
It really stinks for the woman. I feel bad. It's like, even if it is a rule, you know, I'm sure other people there have broken rules before. It's just because of being a woman and her getting pregnant, it has more severe consequences.
Pastor, what do you think? Final word on this.
I don't have a problem with the way the court decided, with the school upholding their rules. I agree that in this situation, it's a lot easier for the woman's to be found out, but you know, the rules are the rules.
You know what's interesting? This is something I want to bring up here, because we try to stay away from current events, and I really don't feel that's a current event. I understand that in one sense it is, but I feel that is something that you could break down at any workplace, in any rule, and you know, you're okay and you're not, and that's going to be debated forever and ever and ever. But one thing I've seen here at the Bratwurst Festival, bringing it back to where we are here, still in the shank of the evening, here at the Bratwurst Festival, is that, I know, can you believe the shank has lasted this long? Really, what was interesting here tonight is I saw a lot of older gentlemen with a lot of younger women. Now, I don't know if I saw, and I started looking at that point in the 14 hours that I've been here, if I could see an older woman with a younger gentleman, but I saw none. Now, why is that? And I've seen a lot of people here. Did you notice that today, Sean? You've been here the whole 14 hours. Have you noticed a lot of older men with a lot of younger women, but not one older woman with a younger guy?
Well, it's popular for now. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they would want the Social Security, or I don't know what's going
on. They want to hit the Social Security.
Yeah.
What do you think, Pastor?
The guys are getting finding someone that will be able to take care of them when the guys are old.
But what about the women? Don't they need somebody to take care of them when they're elderly? They get Social Security too.
I think what it is, I think it's a combination of factors. I think men tend to like women that are younger than them. I think it's kind of a male ego kind of thing. You know, he can be the big guy, he can be the protector, he can be masculine. And I think a lot of women, not all of them, go for the older men, but I think some younger women. Am I saying something?
No.
I think for some women, it may be like a, I don't want to say a daddy issue, but an older man is kind of like they see him as a fatherly figure.
That's where that word goes. Who's your daddy?
Yeah, who's your daddy?
Yeah.
Carrington?
I think
this is why we needed a woman on this show.
So true.
Straighten this all out.
I think I disagree a little bit. I think that women...
Imagine.
Yeah, right. I know. I'm going to disagree. I think that women kind of have more mature mindsets, like, at a younger age, and, like, whereas it takes a man, like, a longer time to mature, like, mentally. It's, like, maybe what it takes to have a relationship is, like, more difficult when a man's younger.
Now, this is not directed necessarily at you, but then again, I guess it is. You're 22.
Yes.
What is the oldest man you would date? That age would matter. Or does age matter at all at 22 years old?
Probably like 25 or 26, I think.
That's not what I saw today.
Okay, so
no.
Now let's say you're a 35-year-old woman and you're with a 60-year-old man.
That's what we're looking at today.
What is that in that 35-year-old woman that's attracting her to the 60-year-old man?
I even say a woman in her late 20s and
right.
A 60-year-old.
Because it's not a matter... There, it's not a maturity issue.
You're right. Right. See, nobody told me this.
That's a big age gap. Yeah, right.
I agree that that's a little strange.
There's a lot of that going on.
Maybe stability. Maybe the man is like older and he's lonely because he wasn't able to get a relationship, you know, all these years because he was more immature. And so now that he's older and more mature, he's able to have a relationship, and then he has money too. And so the girl's like, okay.
But should you be looking for a date at the daycare center?
No.
I mean, I think this is the whole
no,
problem.
No, that's true. I want to know where these people met.
I don't know, but it's an interesting group. And I don't know what the reason is. Now, my guess would be financial.
I can see that.
Because most relationships are based in finances. Now, people don't want to admit that. They want to say love. The truth is that it's really finances. Hey, listen. The truth is the truth. I'm on the street tonight. I got to tell it like it is. It's all about money in the end. Love, you know, that's like a, I mean, honest to goodness, they'd put you in the mental hospital if you tried to explain that to somebody.
But it's really a lot of gold diggers out there. That's what it is.
There you go. Preach it.
But there is. There's a lot of gold diggers out there.
The younger women.
Yeah.
Okay. But why is there never a gray-haired lady with a nice young guy who looks like he just walked out of the gym? Why is it always the gray-haired man with the girl who's, you know, not got enough clothes on to dress a Barbie doll?
I don't have all the answers for this. Like I said, I personally am not going to date a 60-year-old man. I'm not really interested in that. I feel like financial...
Looking for love.
I guess they just connected on a deeper level.
Is that what love is?
I don't know.
The deeper level.
Between a 20-year-old and a 60-year-old.
But when you pass the check, stocks and bonds.
Yeah.
No, it is true that, I believe now that all relationships are based in financials. I believe that really what it comes down to is I need to be around somebody so I don't have to pay all the bills and have all the burden and all the stress of what's going on. And that really is what I love about them, is that they take the stress and they take the consequence off me that I have to support everything myself.
Companionship, too. You don't think it's about that?
Oh, who's interesting all the time?
Well, you've been doing this show for, what, 9.5 years? So.
Okay, let me rephrase. Aside from me, who is interesting all the time?
You're right, I'm stumped. Yeah, just yeah. You.
No, I mean, really, who really likes the same? I mean, if you are around somebody all the time, you are eventually going to have a problem.
You got to go to work at some point. What do you mean? It's not all the time.
Oh, no, they're there when you come home. They're there when you get up. They're there for vacation.
We're back to the fear of marriage. Here we go again.
No fear. No fear. No. I'm telling you what. If I met the right 19-year-old girl right now, I'd be married just like these other guys.
Ashley Williams.
Oh, Ashley Williams. Oh, my. Yes. And Ashley Williams and I are similar in age. She's a great girl.
And she's married.
Hey, you know what? You can't build a house without breaking a few windows. And my point is that Ashley Williams and I have a wonderful relationship. It's a long-distance type of thing we got going on. But that, to me, is the ideal relationship in my life with a female, is Ashley Williams. And a Hallmark Channel, I think, was just made for her.
Yeah, where yeah. You guys are long-distance.
Well, we talk on the phone, you know, every Christmas.
Twice a year,
okay.
She calls me on my birthday, and we talk at Christmas time, and really, that's all I need.
Wow.
In Scott's mind, they're married.
Yeah, what this is marriage,
no,
Scott.
No, we're not married. I'm just saying, to me, this is a girl who I would marry, so I think it dispels the myth that I am afraid of marriage.
Okay.
If she was here, I'd go to that church over there right now and get married.
What happens whenever it's not just the call on your birthday and at Christmas, though, and, you know, she lives closer to you and you see her more?
Well, nothing lasts forever.
Okay.
I'm sure that eventually it would fall apart. But I don't have a fear of it falling apart. It just eventually would.
Right, you're welcoming it. You're like, oh, thank goodness.
When the train gets to the last stop, you get off. That's exactly how it all works. That's how life is. Life, death, spring, summer, fall, winter. Everybody has a season. What do you think, Pastor?
Okay. I don't know what to think.
It's hard at this point, isn't it? Sean, what do you think?
I'm going to agree with you.
You agree with me?
I agree with you.
Ashley Williams is the ideal woman.
She's pretty hot.
There you go. But she's got a great personality. And she's got a great giggle to her. Yes. Just wonderful.
That's what he likes.
A great giggle.
Well, isn't that something to like in somebody?
Oh, yeah,
you know?
It is.
I mean, what's that? She's got a great personality. I mean, that's all you really need. You know, when somebody who's like, you know, a lot of people I've been around in the past, let me tell you. You know that sound when you get out of the shower in the morning and your towel's wet and you drop it on the floor, that noise it makes when it hits the floor? That's some of the people I've been around after a while. You know, in the beginning, it's all fireworks and Mardi Gras, but eventually it all comes down to the plop in the shower. And you just like, get me out of here. I got to get out of here. I've had enough of this. I can't see your face anymore. It's too much. You bored me. It's over. Goodbye. Send a postcard.
And that's you.
But that's life. I think that's most people. That's why we got a high divorce rate.
Yeah, that's true. There is a high divorce rate. That's for sure.
But you feel differently.
I like to hope differently. Maybe I'm like, just blind optimism, I guess.
Well, it's okay to be optimistic. I'm an optimist, I think, at heart about everything.
Except this.
No, I'm just a realist in this particular realm of life.
Yeah, this is the one place I'm trying to be optimistic.
Well, because I've gotten this thing about marriage laid on me, and I don't necessarily think that it's true that I'm fearful of it. I can't see being fearful. I thought about marrying somebody one time. I think I said this.
Yeah, for what, 5 minutes?
Five minutes. Boy, that was a 5 minute. I'm telling you, and I said to myself, this girl and I could be married. And we could get, you know, go down and get paperwork and then go and live together forever. And then once I ran that through in my mind, I said, ooh, that's a haul.
He's like, oh, forever. Not.
And you know what? She's gone. So there you go. It turned out well.
Reality hit him where he's like, man, and then she's going to want to be on the radio station with me. She's going to want to be on the air and co-host. And no, I don't think so.
You know, that's an interesting topic. Not necessarily in my particular case, but, you know, people's jobs do careers. Do make relationships strained. It's not necessarily a lot of times about the person. It's about the type of career you have. Not everybody is suited for every career. I know that there are high divorce rates among firefighters. There are high divorce rates among police officers. There are high divorce rates among actors, actresses, broadcasters, because their life is really not 9-to-5. Their life is also fraught with things that other people's life is not fraught with. And that causes a problem.
Absolutely.
So pick your people wisely. Don't pick, people say personality, well, that's fine, they got a great personality, but if their job is not conducive to the lifestyle that you want, there's going to be a problem.
I want a good checkbook lady.
You really want the money.
I want the money. I want a sugar mama.
So you would take the older one?
I'd take the older
How
one.
How old?
Miriam Michaels, 8.
80. No, 90.
Oh, isn't she 90? I
didn't think she was 90. Well, she's probably
90 now. Well, let's be honest, though. What
did you think she was, 88? I thought she was like
70s. Well, no, but you, two women, who were, one was in their early 90s and one was in their late 80s, who were on the radio station at one point. On the lips.
On radio?
What was after the show?
It was after the show. They kissed me.
On the lips.
Purposefully?
Frequently.
It was... Yeah, every time we get done with the show, she kissed me.
Nobody ever addressed it?
You know what?
You just went with it? Did you kiss back?
No, I just went with it.
So you kissed back?
No, I just went with it.
Well, you didn't draw back.
What? Yeah, you went with it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of them? Kissing back.
Is it really?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to back away.
Well, no, I mean...
You know, I didn't know this was going on. One day I just happened to be there when it took place. And honest to God, I was horrified.
An 80-year-old woman kissed him and nobody said anything. 90-year-old woman kissed 90. You on the lips and nobody said anything. Everyone just was like, okay, business
what
as
do
usual.
What do you say?
I mean, once the 90-year-old leaves, you probably ask him.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Why did...
That happened.
What was up with that kiss thing?
Yeah, I said, what the...
I didn't want to be... I guess what...
And what was his answer?
They just cleaned up me, you know what I mean?
Oh, they're digging the bell. I think the 12 rounds about over here.
The bell's going out.
They just leaned into me and kissed me.
Did you like it?
Huh? I mean...
Oh, no.
Oh, man. What a face.
They had shot us off lips.
And they've since gone on to their reward, so it's kind of sad in a way.
No, I think it was a thing. Every time we ended the show, we just did it.
Just kissed
goodbye.
You.
It was like a goodbye kiss.
Are they European?
No.
Okay. Sorry, I was trying to like make sense of why
they were born
she was
before Europe
him.
Was around.
They were like marrying people.
They were Christopher Columbus's teachers.
And so it's just him specifically. Like, they're not trying to kiss you after the
show. No, I have never, I don't, you know... Anybody, never.
I wonder what it is about you, Sean, why they felt compelled.
I don't know. I did the show all the time.
You're the Tom Cruise of the 90-year-old set, octogenarians.
And they both married, well, one of them married.
So that was even, you know, had her husband found
Sorry,
out, he would have, you'd have been fired if you'd have worked at that school. You'd have been out on your duff.
Yeah.
You know, one of their husbands wanted to take his Medic Alert bracelet and beat you over the head with it. It was an ugly moment. But Pastor, how do you feel about this one? And you know such things went on at the radio station. This is in my book. It's horrible.
I I'm speechless.
You know what I've always done? Because some people do, I'm not going to put this all on shot, but that did happen. I mean, that's all very truthful. Yeah. But people are affectionate, and a lot of times older people are affectionate towards you. But what I do, because I'm not a toucher, is that when they try to go in for something, even a hug, I get the hand out
there. Handshake.
Yes. You know, I'll do that.
Well, and I could even see... You know, a peck on the cheek, you know, a kiss on the cheek, especially from an older lady, an 80, 90-year-old. I could see her maybe, you know, maybe giving Sean a kiss on the cheek, but
they always did the lips. I don't know why.
Right on the lips. Right. Once you reach a certain age, things just become, like, nobody's questioning it. You know, like, if a 45-year-old woman were to just come kiss you, there probably would have been more questions. But since you're 90, you're like, oh, she's old.
No,
that's
no,
cute.
No, no.
She's
this lady
with it.
Used to ride Harley Davidsons. Yeah. Yeah, she was back at
She was a biker lady.
She was a biker,
biker lady back in the day.
Yeah.
Whenever you were like 10. She was on the Harley Davidson.
So here's the thing. I'm getting the
in
feeling.
The
I'm getting a feeling here that Sean actually enjoyed that. Because he's thinking to himself, you know, as she's moving in, you know, I got this biker babe that's kissing me on the lips. I think Sean was actually, I think he was digging it.
But her bike at that point was one of those two-cart, you know, hand wheelies.
Yeah.
By the time he got to
it. It's got three tires on it.
Three tires. But she could kiss, I guess.
she just planted it right on me.
Teeth optional. But the point was that when I saw this, I think it was interesting workplace etiquette. Because I'd never seen anything like that in the workplace. That's not true. There was one time, and this is something I've never said before. It's a good place to say it. You're right on the screen in the last 4 minutes. One time I was in the other room, and I'm not going to say who it was or what. It wasn't you. But there was one gentleman, and there was a lady, and he was telling her how good she looked, and clearly it was a hit. I don't think you should hit on people in the workplace like that. And I was very uncomfortable being in the other room because I don't think they knew that I was overhearing this. So I didn't address it because I thought if she comes to me and says something, then I'll address it. But, you know, it was very uncomfortable.
That's the worst. She probably didn't know how to respond.
Well,
I mean,
she did.
Maybe if she liked it, you know, it's like, oh, okay. But if she doesn't, it's like, what's she going to do? Start a fight right then and there? Like,
you know,
that'd be weird.
That's an interesting point, though. Because, I mean, let's just say in this particular situation, if a guy hits on a girl and the girl likes it, then it's fine. If a guy hits on a girl same way and the girl doesn't like it, then you got sexual harassment, then you got all kinds of problems.
Yeah, that's why it's just never fine. Just don't
stay
do it.
Stay single.
No, I'm not saying stay single. Just don't hit on your coworkers.
Oh, a lot of people meet at work, though.
That is true. Yeah. Maybe once you're planning on leaving or something.
I always believe that's a bad idea, though. You don't want to date somebody at work because as soon as it's over, then you got to see him every day.
Oh, yeah, that sounds terrible. Yeah,
you don't want to be doing that.
No, work's a no-no.
No.
And my ladies, I didn't have to see them every day.
Just once a week.
Once a week?
They came in for their kiss, and the action was over.
Kiss
and
got out.
It was in. Well, this is interesting, and we're down to our final 3 minutes here from the 2023 Bratwurst Festival, and we've certainly covered the waterfront in this particular hour. Carrington, how do you feel to be a part of this historic broadcast and talk about the things we've talked about and done what we've done here as the shank of the evening is about to end?
I'm honored to be here, honestly. I've never been to the Bratwurst Festival, as I said earlier, so getting to experience this while doing a radio broadcast is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, that's for sure.
This will go in your book. Do you have a diary?
I do.
You diary? Do you dictate in it every night?
No, not every night.
How often?
Maybe once or twice a week.
Are we as this show in there?
Not yet, I don't think.
Not yet?
No, I think it will be. I haven't written in it in a couple weeks. It ebbs and flows.
Big print, capital letters when you do write about this
WWGH
show.
Radio.
Yes, and the wonderful people who are there.
Oh, yeah.
Sean, you've been here 14 hours today. As we get
my
to
dogs, the what's the old word? Dogs are barking.
Yes. But what have you made of the Bratwurst Festival here?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I'm going to say this again. I don't care what you say. I think it's clean. And
thank goodness it's clean. We would have nothing to talk about for the last 14 hours. It wasn't clean.
Overall, everybody's really nice. They really did a good job of decorating it.
Pastor.
I'm taking home a lot of memories from my day here today. Some of them I can't even say on the air. We can talk about privately, but I can't say on the air.
Are you going to write these in your diary?
I'm going to. I'm going to I'm going to talk about Sean's opening line in this morning.
We didn't even get off the ground this morning.
That's going to be in my diary.
What happened?
5 minutes in, it was Howard Stern on the stage.
He was saying no.
Yeah. Got a word you're not supposed to say. That's all fine.
Yeah.
We were both talking. We got on 13 seconds before we needed to be on.
I got a lot of memories from
it. Wasn't today a memorable day?
It was. It really was.
We have a look. What did you learn? Did you learn anything, Esther?
I learned that a festival can be really clean.
I learned a lot about vocabulary. Worcestershire.
Yes.
LaRue.
Yes, that's very important.
The shank of the evening.
Your friend will be so impressed.
Oh, I'm sure.
Do you have meeting you here for a big night out on the town?
No, I'm going to go home. I have some morning.
But no friend group tonight. I mean, you're young.
I know.
We should just be warming up the band for you. It's just 10 o'clock.
Doesn't this festival shut down around 11?
No, the lemonade stand's still going strong. Sean, what did you learn?
I learned that there's a lot of old men.
I don't know if they call them old men. Probably different than others. No, it's fine. I don't mind. But I think, you know, as we close up our broadcast here, you know, this is my fifth year doing this particular podcast. I've had a lot of happy moments here. And, you know, shut up. We're doing a broadcast. So go punch that guy in the face. Here's the idea. Is that we would nothing without the listeners who listen at home. So we thank you so much for listening. The broadcast 5 hours this morning, 2 hours tonight. We've had a tremendous time here. The people of Osiris are incredibly nice. They let us set up in front of the office. They let us do all the things we need to do. Thank them for that. We thank certainly the Buckeye guy and all his managers for being with us tonight. We thank Omar Frickson, the famous Ohio State football player and guest, and an icon in his own right. And Sean, thank you for bringing the internet access tonight that we were able to relay the broadcast back to the studio. And Esther for charging Sean's phone. We got low on power today. And it's been a wonder. And Carrington for showing up, coming straight from work and being in scrubs and showing up here and doing a show in your scrubs from the street to Bizarre with us. We thank you for being with us. And we will be back next Friday night with much more Friday Night Live. Matt will be back. He'll be telling us about his trip Wisconsin and Chicago and Harrington's going to have updated vocabulary list next week.
Oh, absolutely. Do we have a top 10 list next week?
Well, we have a top 10 list, certainly do.
Oh, amazing.
We can come up close for that, so it's going to be a great program next Friday night, 8:15 to 10 o'clock. And Sean will be with us and the whole gang. And so from the streets of Osiris, where, you know, there's still several people out here walking around. And the smell of bratwurst is still fresh in the air. If you want a bratwurst, stop on by and get it. Spitz is still open. Carly's is still open. And the windy sign is still on, so you get yourself a strawberry frosty, and there's still dirtles around here from place to place. It's been a great time. It's been a great night. Thank you so much. From the broadcast position on the streets of Osiris, beautiful downtown or uptown, whichever you prefer. We thank you. We enjoy you. Good night, everybody. Stay safe. For the group here tonight, Scott Spears, heading.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM.